Its current state on WKAR, the Broad Art Museum at Michigan State University will open 4 new exhibitions this month, with artist Hope Gangloff launching the first on Friday. The New York-based artist will be featured in The Genres. Current State Scott Pohl went to the museum this week to talk with curator of contemporary art, Allison Gass, about all of the new exhibits. Gass says the Gangloff works are kicking off a 3-part series of exhibitions, tying new works with others from the collection of the former Kresge Art Museum. Gass says the Broad is committed to looking at contemporary art through the lens of art history.
I have created a series called The Genres, and it will look at the traditional genres in the history of Western art, which are really portraiture, still life, and landscape painting, the things we think about when we think about the tradition of art. Artists today don't really think about those things. Nobody calls themselves a portrait artist or a landscape painter, but I really see that artists are still committed to those kinds of narratives and kinds of stories or kinds of genres. So I've invited 3 artists who are really kind of on the cusp of great stardom, I think, really strong emerging artists, who to me have really reinvented those different genres. And Hope is the first in that series. So Hope Gangloff is a painter who lives and works in Hudson, New York, upstate New York. She's someone I've known for a long time. I put her in my very, very first exhibition when I was in graduate school. She has really made a practice of making drawings and then later paintings of the people who surround her, her friends, other artists, kind of young, what you might call urban hipsters in Brooklyn and now in upstate New York, who have a kind of distinctive style that we can recognize as a real social type at this moment in our lives. But she paints them much more in the style almost of a traditional late 19th century painting, like these colorful, thick brush strokes, large-scale canvases that remind me a lot of Degas or even Van Gogh, or sometimes Kirchner, the kind of classic artists we think of who used color and got atmosphere and emotion across. So to me, Hope has really reinvented portraiture, but she's also kind of really steadfastly clung to a tradition of figurative painting that we don't see that often. For her show, what I've asked her to do is curate from our collection. So she dug around in the basement of the Kresge Art Museum in our vaults and found just incredible paintings of people, portraits and figurative representations, some of which our frequent audiences and audiences to the Kresge Art Museum will know very well, some of which I think haven't been shown in a long time. And working closely with me, Hope will install in our large Minskoff gallery, our big atrium gallery, a mixture of about 10 or 12 of her own large-scale paintings hung in an entanglement, really, with these incredible differently scaled works from all different periods of art history.
So she did it herself in terms of finding works from the Kresge collection that she thinks fit within the pieces she's bringing here.
Correct. She spent a couple of days here last year, really, with our registrar, with our preparator, digging through, pulling things off the walls, moving racks, looking at things. And she presented a collection of about 50, and she and I worked together and culled it down to a smaller amount. Right now, we have them all spread out on the gallery floor, and we'll see what makes it onto the wall. It's going to be a very visually installed show.
Now, she's also going to paint directly on the wall of the Minskoff Gallery, right?
Correct. She's going to paint a large mural directly on the wall at the Minskoff Gallery that will be something that we aren't exactly sure what it will be, actually. It will kind of develop as she paints it. I know that she's looking at representations of vintage late 19th, early 20th century posters because she's very interested in this kind of historical graphic style. So it'll be this funny combination, collapsing of time, inspiration from a much earlier time, but the newest possible work you can imagine. I imagine it will still be wet when people come and see it opening on Friday.
Well, I was going to ask you about the timing of this, since it opens on Friday. Will people be able to observe her actually while she's painting? When do you expect it to be finished?
We don't know exactly when she'll finish. She and I spoke very much that it's okay with both of us if she's not finished on Friday. We like the idea that this is almost a performance, that people really get to see a behind-the-scenes approach to how things get made and get painted and get made in museums. So it's very likely that anybody coming here on Friday evening will still see scaffolding up on the wall and possibly even still see Hope up on the scaffolding painting. Now, If she finishes early, then you'll see us scrambling to deinstall all of that as you get here. But Hope is very comfortable with the idea that people can see it. And as you know, that's a gallery that has overlook points above it from two directions. So anybody coming here anytime this week will certainly see Hope painting.
I have to ask, what happens at the end of the run for this particular exhibition? Will there be a way of preserving that work? Will it have to be painted over?
It will have to be painted over, which is a very standard thing, actually, if you think about contemporary art and installation art. Artists work at an architectural scale, often doing things that are what we call site-specific, meaning they respond specifically to the site. Many of the works we have shown in the Broad so far are things that were ephemeral. We had the large Teresita Fernandez, the Allison Schott string drawing. All of those have now been taken down and recycled. So while it's a kind of shocking thing to think about, it's a very standard thing that happens. It will live only in documentation and photographs.
Now, on September 13th, an exhibition called Focus, Beverly Fishman will be opening. Why don't you tell us about Beverly Fishman?
Sure. Beverly Fishman is kind of a phenomenal Michigan figure in the world of contemporary art. She is the painter in residence, the professor of painting at Cranbrook Art Academy in Bloomfield Hills. She's been there for a while, and many, many young artists who emerge from the Detroit area, but from Michigan in general, point to her as a great mentor and a great teacher. She's had an extraordinary career in her own right as well. She's committed to color. She's committed to the history of painting. She thinks about what it means to be a painter. We will be showing a very small, what I like to call almost like a jewel box installation of her recent paintings, from a series that is abstract in appearance but very conceptual in its kind of heart. What she does is she works with medical imagery, scans of MRIs, EKGs, EEGs, and she transcribes them in vibrant colors onto a steel or metal surface using enamel. So they've got this high gloss, thick finish, and at times you can actually almost see your reflection in them. So they're really kind of incredibly special objects. She's very interested in this idea of something that looks abstract but actually has a very singular meaning. So if you're a doctor and you're looking at an MRI or an EEG, these lines and these grids and these sort of shapes mean something to you. They speak to you. It's a very specific language. So Beverly's very interested in the space between abstract representation and legible language. And so she's kind of collapsed the two together in these paintings. For her, there's also a very strong kind of social and political element here, where she's interested in what she calls the medicalization of our society, how quick we all are these days in the 21st century to turn to pills or doctors for anything that ails us, rather than possibly taking other kinds of approaches that might be more meditative or something like that. So for her, it's very art historical, it's very visual, but it's also quite significant asking us to think a little bit about the conditions of medical situations in our society.
You know, it makes me think of how geometric much of what we see when we think about medicine mm-hmm. is. Pills are round, mm-hmm. pills are oblong.
Yeah.
The symmetry of an X-ray, a chest X-ray, is that part of what she sees in artistic terms when it comes to medical representations like those?
I think absolutely. I think she's interested in set forms. So in some ways, she's kind of dispensed with the idea that the artist creates forms or imagines forms. She's interested in the way things are very precise and have very specific appearances. Our bodies, of course, pills, as you said, medical readouts, they're often very gridded, symmetrical, that kind of thing. And that's what gives structure to her abstractions. Absolutely.
And then there are two new exhibitions opening on September 20th. One of them is Michelle Handelman, Irma Vep, The Last Breath. Tell us about Michelle Handelman and her place in contemporary art.
Michelle Handelman is a key video artist. This is an exhibition organized by our director, Michael Rush, who, as you know, is one of the great historians of 20th century video art and one of the great curators of 21st century video art. Michelle Handelman is a figure who has consistently explored issues of gender, transgender, sexuality, sexual identity through much of her practice. She's also an artist who's very interested in the way the viewer moves through space and the role that video installation plays in our experience of space. So Michael Rush and Michelle have both committed a lot of their exhibitions practice to thinking about the way video becomes architecture in many ways, the scale of it, the darkness of the room, the way you experience your body and your visual field as you move through space. So Michelle Handelman will install in our galleries a major installation with walls and projections coming in from different angles that will kind of transform your experience and transport you to a different place. The project takes its kind of story and its identity from the old film Les Vampires, which is one of the earliest silent films to explore issues of transgender identity, and Irma Vep was a character in that. And what you'll see as you come through is yourself kind of experiencing an alter world, a world where nothing is exactly as it seems, both architecturally and in terms of gender identity. It's a very powerful, very beautiful video piece. It's the world premiere of this work. It's never been shown anywhere else, which is very, very exciting for us. I should also mention that as a public program alongside of it in October, for 1 week in our media gallery, we will be showing the film Les Vampires, which is a 10-hour film. So we're calling it a Les Vampires marathon, and it will show all day, every day, and people will be able to come and hang out and see it. And a great film historian, Tom Gunning from the University of Chicago, will be here then to give a lecture on the piece. So it should be very exciting.
And also, Allison, on September 20th, another exhibition opening is called Revelations, which has works that were produced between the 1980s and the present day. Can you tell me about Revelations and the idea behind this exhibition?
Absolutely. Revelations is an exhibition curated by our new assistant curator, Yasomi Umalu, who came to us from The Walker. This is the first exhibition that she'll organize. And it's a collections exhibition, which is something that I think people need to understand we're still very much committed to. So throughout the course of every year, you'll see us installing exhibitions that are specifically drawn from our permanent collection. Somi has come up with an idea of works from the collection that deal with issues of democracy and identity, oftentimes very specifically African-American identity, but also just the notion of being from a place and what it means to be from a place, and that can be a very complicated situation. So she's able, digging through our collection, our contemporary collection, to tell what I think is a very full, very complete story about issues of nationalism, place in history and identity through the language of contemporary art, through the works that we own.
Allison Gassel, the Broad Art Museum. September's a very busy month here. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's always fun to talk to you. Thanks.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.